No doubt at some point of your life, most of us have heard of what's called the seven wonders of the ancient world. One of those wonders, in fact, the only one of those wonders still standing is the pyramids of Egypt. Then you've got the Hanging Gardens of Babylon or the Hanging Gardens of Nebuchadnezzar. You got the statue of Zeus that was carved at the first Olympic Games, about 40 feet high. You've got the Temple of Diana of Ephesus, which took 120 years to build, covered in gold. Reference made to this in the New Testament. Great is Diana of the Ephesians, you remember. There's the mausoleum at Hyrcanus. There's the giant Colossus of Rhodes. And there is the lighthouse at Alexandria. People call these the seven wonders of the ancient world. While there are seven wonders of the ancient world, as I said, only one of them is still standing at this point. Man has committed at least seven blunders in the modern world. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is some of these blunders. I want to start with the first blunder man has committed. And that is a failure to believe in the God of the Bible. Now, not everybody who doesn't believe in quote-unquote God really doesn't believe in God. Many of them do believe in a creator. They might believe in Allah or some other god. They might even believe in some ancient pagan god, for all we know. But many do not believe in the God of the Bible. I don't know about you, but I watched with interest a few times this lady up in Kentucky by the name of Kim Davis. I don't know if you've seen any of the coverage of her, but it's been on the news. And in the course of the news coverage, if you really dig deep, what you'll find out is a homosexual couple from Ohio came to Kentucky to get married. They brought the media with them so they could have a media circus. And as they stood there and discussed with Miss Davis, who is the clerk of the court of that county duly elected, also a Democrat, in case anybody was wondering. She is. But she's the clerk of the court up there, duly elected for many, many years, as well as her mother was clerk of the court before her, duly elected by the citizens of that county. As they began to discuss, they want to ask her the question, why she's not issuing them a marriage license, and by what authority? I'm reminded of the question asked of Jesus in the New Testament, by what authority doest thou these things? And her reply was, by the authority of God. And the answer that came back was, I do not accept your God. Well, it really doesn't matter whether you accept God or not, does it? God just is. God is. And you cannot accept gravity if you want to and go step off the edge of a building somewhere and see if it matters whether you accept it or not. Likewise, God, whether you accept him or not, is still in control of the universe. I think many of the people we discussed this particular issue with and many others that we just hadn't thought about as much, their problem is that they'll discuss with you, oh, well, the Old Testament is this, and it says the other. You're not doing this, you eat shrimp, whatever they want to come up with. Their problem is they really don't accept the God of the Bible at the bottom line. They may accept some God, they may accept some version of God, they may accept themselves as their own God. But they don't accept the God of the Bible. When Daniel was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, he said that he couldn't reveal secrets, but there is a God in heaven who can. When you begin reading the Bible just starts out with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is there. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of this world. And man has committed a giant blunder by rejecting God. Secondly, I submit to you that man has committed a giant blunder in our day by rejecting Jesus as the Son of God. You'll remember what he said in John 8:24. Therefore, I said unto you, you'll die in your sins. If you believe not that I am, the King James puts in italics that little word, he.
That's right.
If you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Jesus would go on to say in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. no man comes to the Father but by me. See, to reject Jesus is to reject the only pathway we have back to God. The God who created the universe in a perfect state and wanted to have fellowship with man, but man severed that perfect state, severed that fellowship by the entrance of sin into the world. In Acts 4 and verse 12, the Apostle Peter said, Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name given among men or given unto heaven whereby we must are given among men, excuse me, whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Man has come along and they've rejected at least the Jesus of the Bible. They may believe in some Jesus. They may believe in another Jesus. But the Jesus they believe in is not Jesus of the Bible. Jesus they believe in usually has long hair, and I would think that he would be out in Colorado smoking marijuana if he was still around, the Jesus they believe in. So that's about what he looks like, is one of those folks, right? He's just as sweet as he can be. He hugs everybody, heals everybody. He would not offend anybody in anything. I want to submit to you, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. In fact, some people ask this question, what would Jesus do? If the Jesus you believe in would not drive money changers out of the temple with a whip, you don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible, and you don't know what he would do. Because the Jesus who actually lived in history, that's exactly what he did do on one particular occasion. So men reject Jesus as the Son of God. That is, the one who is in authority over this earth. He was actually declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead, Romans 1 and verse 3. He is who he claimed to be, and he demonstrated that he was who he claimed to be. On one occasion, they asked him the question concerning his claims, how he could demonstrate his claim. They said, in fact, show us a sign, it sufficeth us. He said, there won't be any sign given save the sign of the prophet Jonah, Matthew chapter 12. As he said that, he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the earth 3 days and 3 nights. And as we said, he was declared to be the Son of God with power by that resurrection of the dead, Romans 1 and verse 3. Third blunder that man has created for himself. Some people out there really believe, they really think, oh, there is a God and Jesus is his Son, but I'm good enough to go to heaven. You ever hear anybody say that? I'm good enough. They don't realize Romans 3 and verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They don't realize that the only pathway back to God is through the shedding of the blood of Christ. In Hebrews 9:22, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. If you want to talk about some people who were morally good, they'll often compare themselves to others. Maybe even some who are saved, or at least some who they think are saved. And they'll say, well, you see, I'm better than he is, as if that is the issue. That's not the issue. The question is, have you named Jesus as the one who will save you by arising, being baptized, washing away your sins, and in doing so, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and verse 16. Think about Cornelius. There he was in Acts chapter 10. He was a moral man. He was a good man. He gave much alms. But Cornelius had a problem. His problem was a mounting problem. He had not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ. Now, he had not been given an opportunity yet. Peter hadn't come to his house yet. But he was still in a lost condition until Peter came to his house, knocked on the door as it was, presented the gospel to him. The Holy Spirit fell on him to show Peter that he was a candidate for salvation. And then he was baptized into Christ. Morality is not going to save anybody. Only Jesus Christ can save man. In Matthew 26 and 28, Jesus said, this is the blood of my new covenant, my new testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Another blunder that man has created, one of the blunders of the modern world, is man looks around only at that which he can see here and now. If he can't touch it, if he can't taste it, if he can't smell it, it's not real to him. They'll sometimes even say, well, I don't see God, I don't hear God, I can't taste God, I can't touch God, therefore God is not real. Well, the man who says that claims to have a mind. I can't touch it, can't taste it, wouldn't want to taste it, can't see it, can't feel it. But he would say, well, the evidence of my mind is here because here I am making this argument with you. Well, the evidence of God is here and has been here for almost 2,000 plus years in Jesus and more years than that before. The physical and the spiritual world are two different things. We live in a world of materialism. God knows that there will be those in our world that trust in what's called in the Bible uncertain riches, right? Jesus was warned in Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 15, Jesus told a parable to some, and he said, take heed and beware, verse 15, covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Then he told a parable to illustrate that point. He talked about a certain rich man that had ground that brought forth plentifully. Then he said in himself, what shall I do, because I have no more room to bestow my fruits? He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here's a man who thought the here and now was all that mattered. He did not realize that there was something that was more important, and that's hereafter. Now, some of us may not know what hereafter is, because we've reached the age of not accountability, but the age of hereafter. That is the age when you go into the room and you say to yourself, what did I come here after? You may have reached that age. That's not the hereafter I'm talking about. I'm talking about the hereafter when the world is no more and when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus would admonish his followers in Matthew 6, 19 through 20, to not lay up for themselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves do break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where there I am, there you may be also. Earthly treasures will pass away. We're told in 1 Timothy 6, verses 7 through 10, that the love of money is the root of all or every kind, I think New King James says, every kind of evil. Yet man continues to focus on what he can see here and now. And he doesn't think about the things that are unseen. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about those unseen things. And they are the real things, not what we can see now on this side of eternity. So that's the fourth thing I want to mention is a blunder of man. A fifth thing that man has is a blunder. And you may know some people like this. The fifth thing is some people think that faith alone will save them. You ever met anybody like that?
Yes, sir.
They'll flat out tell you, faith alone is all you need. Well, first of all, when it comes to God's side, they've left God completely out of that equation. If a man can be saved by faith alone, then he doesn't need the grace of God. He doesn't need the blood of Christ. He doesn't need anything on that side of the equation. Well, let's say, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about on this side of the equation. I'm talking about what man has done. Well, if you can be saved by faith alone, you can be saved not just without baptism, which it seems to be the only thing they really want to leave out of God's plan. But you can be saved without repentance. And Jesus said in Luke 13 and verse 3, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know, there are several things needed to be saved, and we can't be saved by any one of them to the exclusion of any of the others. James 1 is the only place I know, or James chapter 2 is the only place I know that discusses this concept of faith alone. And what it actually says repeatedly is that faith alone will not save, because it's dead, and a dead faith will not save anybody. Christ has said in Hebrews 5, 8, and 9 is the author of eternal salvation to all men that obey him. Faith alone is not going to save anybody, and that's a blunder man has committed. In fact, there are people who become famous by getting up, and that's all their message is faith alone. You can see that they'll come on television. They may be 9,900 years old and not even able to preach anymore, but they still put them on television to put this faith alone message out. Another blunder that man has created for himself is some people think they're too bad to be saved. We talked about those who think they're too good to need saving, but some people really truly believe they're too bad to be saved. What do you suppose would happen if the Jews on Pentecost believed that? When Peter preached them, as we talked about this morning, and told them in Acts 2:23 that they had delivered Christ by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, but you have taken with lawless or wicked hands and delivered him over to be crucified and put to death, how would those people have even asked the question, what must I do in Acts 2:37, if they didn't understand that God would save them in spite of their sin? In fact, there is no sin one can commit to put oneself out of the ability to be saved if one is willing to repent of it and change. In Acts 7:52, as Stephen stood up, he said to those that were about to stone him to death, "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they were the ones who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom now you have become betrayers and murderers." Do you know amongst those that were standing there and heard him say that was a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus? Saul, in fact, the text tells us, held the clothes of those that stoned Stephen on that day. Now, amongst those people, you couldn't get any worse than the Apostle Paul was as far as persecuting the church. He was, in fact, he had sort of appointed himself prosecutor-in-chief of the church. He had gotten letters from the high priest that if anyone were found of that way, that they could be taken and taken off to prison. In fact, Paul would look back and reflect on this in 1 Timothy 1:15 and remind us that he himself was what he called the chief of sinners. So if you think for one moment that I'm just too wicked, too evil to be saved, you need to move Paul out of the way, because you'd have to be more wicked and evil than he. He guarded the garments of those that stoned Stephen to death, a man who did nothing wrong but only did right. A man who started out, the first time we read about him, he's helping the widows and the orphans. You can't get any better than that, can you? Any sin you're willing to repent of is one for which you can be forgiven. The final blunder that man has committed in our day, one of the modern blunders of the world, is, and this is where Satan gets a lot of his ammunition, "I'll submit to Christ someday." They think they've got plenty of time to yield their will to Jesus Christ. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, Solomon writes, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." He lists off what we need to remember before this all happens to us, while we still can serve God. It doesn't matter how young, how old you are, you have not been promised another day. In fact, if there were another day that you were promised, you wouldn't have one more day to repent in. You would really have one more day to repent of not serving Christ. Young or old, there is nothing promised. The Lord might come back for all we know, and you might not even make it. There are people out there who know that they have been sentenced to death. There's some of them on death row that say, will tell you, "I have been sentenced to death." There are also folks in this, there's a group that goes around and helps people as they face death called hospice. And some of those people know they're going to die. You know the difference between the guy that's on death row and the person that's in hospice and us? Somebody has at least convinced them they're going to die. Most of us don't believe it. We're not ready. But we understand that James says in James 4:13 through 15 that life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. The Hebrew writer will warn us in Hebrews 3 and verse 13, "Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." See, sin is deceitful. Sin is of such a nature that will cause a person to not think about the fact and to put off the fact that there is a day coming. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." When Paul stood before Felix, he taught him. And what did Felix do in response to that? He tells Paul in Acts 4:24-25, "Go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." You know, it never would become convenient for Felix in Nero's administration as governor to obey the gospel. And for many people who think it's not convenient right now to obey the gospel, it never will become convenient for you either. In fact, in our world, it seems as if, you remember where we started, it seems as if it's becoming more and more inconvenient to be obedient to Christ. It's not going to become more convenient tomorrow. It's only going to become less of a chance that anyone will obey the gospel. Well, these are seven blunders that man has committed. And as impressive as the Egyptian, those giant things out there, pyramids, those things made out of sand out there. Thank you, AC. As impressive as those pyramids are, like the Great Pyramid of Egypt in Gaza, as impressive as they are, they pale in comparison as their engineering wonders, as we look at them and say, how did anybody be smart enough to come up with that? In the ancient world especially. That is how unimpressive people who commit these seven blunders we've talked about are in their intellect. To say that there is no God, to say that there is no Christ, to say I'm already good enough, to say I'm not good enough, I never obey, to say that I don't have to obey, I can be saved by faith only, or to say I've got just plenty of time. All of these are just blunders committed by man. If you're here and never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can do so just like those did in the New Testament time. By hearing God's word, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins. Maybe you've done that in the past and gone back out to the world. Don't continue to say, I've got time. Come back before it's everlastingly too late. Come as we stand, as we sing.